actor I was talking to Michael Barclay. Next week on Private Passions, there's another chance to hear Nick Clegg, leader of the Liberal Democrats and now Deputy Prime Minister, revealing his musical passions in a programme which was first broadcast in autumn 2008. Private Passions is a classic arts production for BBC Radio 3, and the producer of today's edition was Chris Marshall.
Annette Crosby and David Bradley star in this week's Drama on 3.
Your depression has been very profound the last few months. We're worried that you might harm yourself again.
I won't. I haven't for years. I promise I won't.
This is just a precaution.
I don't want it.
A desperate love story.
They asked me, because I was the nearest to next of kin. I said no. You thought I'd signed you over to them.
Two lives entangled since childhood and their struggle to cope with the present.
You dose them up so they're like a load of geriatrics.
Your sister is not responding to other treatment.
She's not my sister. She's not my sister.
Sarah and Ken by Rebecca Lenkovich. Tomorrow evening's Drama on 3 at 8 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
That, in fact, is this evening, I think. Did I hear the word tomorrow? I think I did. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock, time for the news from Vaughan Savage.
Two of the four Russians expelled from Moscow as part of the biggest spy swap since the Cold War are reported to be staying undercover in a British hotel. The brother of one of them, Igor Sutyagin, says he's been in touch with his family, but he hasn't been told where he is. The four were exchanged for 10 Russian agents who were deported by the United States on Friday. The British intelligence agency GCHQ says it's taking steps to improve its employment practices after a leaked report says its anti-terrorism operations were being hampered by insufficient ethnic minority staff. The Whitehall document, leaked to a Sunday newspaper, also says black and Asian intelligence officers have complained of a racist culture at the complex near Cheltenham in Gloucestershire. The Health Secretary, Andrew Lansley, is insisting that patients will benefit from a planned reorganisation of the NHS in England, which would give more decision-making powers to GPs. The proposals would mean a dramatic scaling back in the role of primary care trusts and strategic health authorities in deciding how £80 billion of NHS funding is spent. Police in Northumberland are continuing to search the area around Rothbury for other potential weapons held by the fugitive gunman, Raoul Moat. The suspected killer died after shooting himself during a standoff with armed police on Friday night. The Independent Police Complaints Commission is investigating officers' use of taser guns at the conclusion of the six-hour confrontation. The grandson of Nelson Mandela has revealed that the former South African president has come under extreme pressure from FIFA to attend tonight's World Cup final. He says Mr. Mandela, who's almost 92, hasn't yet decided whether he'll be at the Johannesburg match between the Netherlands and Spain. The weather, occasional rain or showers in Scotland, Northern Ireland and northwest England. A mainly dry day with sunny spells for the remainder of England and Wales. Temperatures will range from 17 in Perth to 25 in Norwich. The BBC News and Weather at 3:30 past one.
And now today's early music show, presented by Lucy Skeeping.
In today's early music show, a chance to hear the winning two entries from the 2010 National Centre for Early Music Young Composers Award. Now in its second year, the competition is open to composers under the age of 26 and offers them an opportunity to write a new piece, specially to be performed by one of the great vocal jewels of the early music world, the Talis Scholars.
Thank you.
Gloria from the Missa Papai Marcelli by Palestrina, an example of the real power of polyphony. The singers there were the Tallis Scholars, recorded at Chester Cathedral as part of this year's Chester Festival. Performing music like that by Palestrina and others is exactly the sort of thing the Tallis Scholars have become renowned for all over the world. In fact, since they formed back in 1973, they've established themselves as one of the leading exponents of Renaissance sacred music. Of course, there are many choirs working on similar repertoire these days, but none of them quite have the precision, the purity and the unique blend of voices that makes the Tallis Scholars so very distinctive. So how would their director, Peter Phillips, define their sound?
Well, the essence of it is that the surface of the sound should be as beautiful as possible, and that's achieved by good tuning and the blend between the voices. The moment the voices disagree on a note, that beauty which I'm after, just as the starting point for this instrument, if you like, that beauty will be slightly spoilt. We are quite a small group of singers, really. I mean, normally 10 singers, and it's 2 to a part. So that blend has to be very carefully worked out. If it was 3 to a part, it would probably be easier. But I actually like the challenge. It's sort of more daring to have only 2 to a part. They have to work really hard and listen to each other. And I think the result is just that bit more poignant.
Peter Phillips, director of the Tallis Scholars. And they put that poignancy aside for this next piece, a joyful motet by Giovanni Croce. An unfamiliar name, perhaps, but as choir master at St Mark's in Venice in the early years of the 17th century, Croce was an efficient and reliable composer. He may not have been too keen on the sort of dissonances or emotive touches of some of his contemporaries, but he made good use of the unusual acoustics of St Mark's, placing small groups of singers in different parts of the church to produce that characteristically Venetian sound, with musical phrases exchanged by the choirs back and forth across the basilica's huge interior. Tallis Scholars with Laudens Exultatet Gaudo, a motet by Giovanni Croce, working in Venice in the first half of the 1600s. An altogether more stately piece is this setting of Benedictus Dominus Deus Sabaoth, Blessed be the Lord of the Sabbath. It's by Andrea Gabrielli, a native Venetian and organist at St Mark's, who became one of the most celebrated composers of his generation. He was particularly famed for his ceremonial music. And for that sort of thing, Venice, with its seemingly non-stop schedule of pageants, processions and festivals, was the perfect place to be. Benedictus Dominus Deus by Andrea Gabrielli, performed by the Talis Scholars, who we're hearing all through today's programme. They'll be performing something rather different in a moment, pieces by two of today's up-and-coming young composers, Owen Park and Alexander Kampkin. They were the winners, one in each age group, of a composers' competition promoted by the National Centre for Early Music. Here's its director, Delma Tomlin.
The National Centre for Early Music Composers Award was established a couple of years ago in association with the Early Music Show and with the Talis Scholars to start to look for young composers who were interested in writing for the instrument that is the Talis Scholars in the sort of building that we often hear this particular group. So today in Chester Cathedral or in York Minster, all those wonderful, if you like, giant-size acoustic spaces. So it's a sort of mix of several things together. The response over the past 3 years has just been extraordinary. We started this, if you like, as a pilot in Beverley Minster with the Tallis Scholars, and then the BBC joined as a partnership the year later. And it's just blossomed. And this year, we had over 70 compositions actually submitted to the National Centre for Early Music, and they were just the most extraordinary standard.
Delma Tomlin. The competition was launched last autumn, and from some 70 entries, 7 finalists were chosen. They were invited up to York in May to the National Centre for Early Music, the NCEM, where they worked with composer Christopher Fox and heard their pieces performed by the Ebor Singers. The winning pieces were then chosen by a panel of judges: Peter Phillips, director of the Tallis Scholars, Chris Wines, senior producer here at Radio 3, and Delma Tomlin, director of the NCEM, who we've just heard. So what's the idea behind a sort of modern early music composition prize like this?
I think it's essential that we in the early music world are open to and very, very definitely encouraging young composers to think about the early music sound world and to investigate that world for themselves.
There are two categories, 18 and under and 19 to 25. The winner of the younger age group was Owen Park from Bristol for his piece Sweet Day, a setting of a poem by metaphysical poet George Herbert.
Started to write this piece in the sort of Purcell style, thinking they'll want something a bit in that style. Actually, it turned out they didn't. I only managed to find that out sort of by looking into the competition a little bit further. That was a bit worrying because 2 days before the deadline, I had to send off my piece. And so I thought, right, let's start again. And so this is a completely new idea. And I think the inspiration, which you might be able to hear the sort of whole tone ideas, comes from a piano piece by Debussy, which is called Voile. And I didn't think about that at all when I was writing it, but now I come to think of it, I've been playing it relatively recently and it must have been in the back of my mind. I find with choral music, if I find a text that inspires me with an idea, then I'll just be able to write something. It's interesting how it works, because with this piece here, with Sweet Day, the initial idea comes back throughout the piece, and I was sort of doing that half subconsciously, but it worked really well. I think it was more the idea of the Tallis Scholars' style and the way they sang early music than actual early music influencing this piece. Lots of composers are now returned to the plain chant style with a sort of modern slant, and this doesn't do that. But what it does do is, when I was writing it, I really thought about the end product. That was always in my mind. I could hear these chords sort of washing around the building and working really nicely. Next year, I'm really looking forward to next year because I'll be at Wales Cathedral School. So I'll be studying at the school for 2 years, and I'll also be the organ scholar for the cathedral. And so that's really exciting, practising there, and then work with the school choirs and orchestra, and there's just so much going on, it's brilliant. I mean, in my school in Bristol, they're not musically geared like Wales are. Even though they've been great for academic, I've had to look around elsewhere in Bristol and sort of draw what I can from various ensembles, and it's been great, but I think it's time for change, and I'm really looking forward to working with other people of my age who I can sort of relate to, whereas in my school I feel slightly not one of a kind but one of a few, whereas in Wales that'll be the other way around. This piece is called Sweet Day by me, Owen Park. The words come from Virtue, a poem by George Herbert.
Thank you.
Sweet Day, a piece by Owen Park, the winner of the under-19s category of the 2010 National Centre for Early Music Composers Competition. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and highlights from a concert given in Chester by the Tallis Scholars, which, alongside Renaissance music, featured works by the two winners of the competition. So what's the appeal of contemporary music for a group like the Tallis Scholars, who we tend to associate with the great works of the Renaissance? Peter Phillips.
I've worked with John Taverner, John Woolrich, all sorts of people, Arvo Pärt. These are not young people, but the exciting thing with young people is that they're starting out, obviously, and they've yet to find their voices, probably. Or if they do find their voices, because we can help them do that, they have an instrument which is an interesting instrument, I think, to work with. It might just help their development. And actually, I feel that with these two pieces today. And I think the composers themselves would agree that because they've had a very interesting, unusual instrument to write for, and they've taken the trouble to do that, that they've advanced themselves. The pieces that have actually won have this sound world of their own, and that's what I always think is a sign of really good thinking, compositional thought. If a composer like Josquin or the great composers. Josquin did it in every single piece, produce a sound world that is distinctive. So it's given to us as the instrument, but it has its own inherent sound, and that's our job to unlock it.
And unlock it they did. Today's new music can sometimes be hard going at first hearing, but the purity of sound and precision of the Tallis Scholars brought a real clarity to the next piece we're going to hear. It's by the winner of the 19 to 25 category, Alexander Kampkin from London, and he chose to set the Latin text, O Magnum Mysterium. O great mystery and wondrous sacrament, that animals should see the newborn Lord lying in their manger. Blessed is the Virgin whose womb was worthy to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia. But before we hear it, let's find out a little more about the composer.
I don't have any fixed way of starting a composition. Inspiration strikes, and it can strike very suddenly. Sometimes it can be influenced by another form of art, or it could be inspired by a person, someone I know. And the way inspiration comes, it still perplexes me, because it can come very suddenly. Other times it can take longer, though. So sometimes I would compose an entire piece in just a few minutes, whereas other times I really have to work very hard at it. Strangely enough, I find background noise can actually be quite useful to composition. I find silence almost hardest, whereas if there's background noise, whether it be birdsong, the rustling of leaves, or people talking in the distance, I can quite easily tune that out. Whereas if there is background music, I find that very disturbing, which is why I very much liked composing in the traditional cafes in Vienna when I was a student there last year. Because there was only the sound of people talking quietly in German. One of my interests, aside from music, is maths and physics. And some time ago I was reading a maths book, and I came across a chapter heading, Counting My Numberless Fingers, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I just knew I had to had to write a composition with this title. I always find that the first time I hear a new composition very exciting. Suddenly, these sound worlds that I had imagined in my head come to life for the first time, and it gives me a chance to test my ideas in practice to see whether what I wrote actually works. It was interesting writing the music for O Manuum Mysterium. I started with the text in mind and the power behind the words and the emotions that they stirred were what influenced the composition very highly. The other thing that influenced the piece was the sound of the Talis Scholars. I've listened to recordings by the Talis Scholars for a great many years. I can still remember the very first time I hear the Talis Scholars, and this was in my youth when I'd heard lots about Spem in Alium by Talis, and I was absolutely fascinated by this piece. And I just wanted to hear it, so I got the score out of the library and I got a recording of the Talis Scholars singing it, and I was absolutely amazed. I thought it was the most amazing composition and the most amazing performance of it. I was really, really stunned, and that left quite a lasting impression on me. So when I came to writing the piece for this competition, I really had the sound world of the Talis Scholars in mind. And I wanted to create a piece which would suit their voices and their choral sound. When I go about selecting a text for a new composition, I will look through many texts, and sometimes I'll just be reading through them with a particular commission or a performance in mind. And sometimes some music will just jump at me. Sometimes the piece will just compose itself. And when that happens, I have absolutely no choice in deciding the text. The decision already has been made. And as far as I'm concerned, the piece has already been composed. So when I was looking through various Latin texts, I stumbled across the text for O Manuum Mysterium. And I just looked at it and I thought, yes, I can do something with the text. I can take it a little bit further. And I can also use the text as a vehicle of expressing my music. So I feel that it works in two ways.
Alexander Kampkin. So here now are the Talis Scholars from Chester Cathedral with Alexander's winning entry, O Magnum Mysterium.
Thank you.
The Talis Scholars performing O Magnum Mysterium by Alexander Kampkin, one of the two winning entries of this year's NCEM Young Composers Competition. We'll end today's early music show with two more pieces performed by the Talis Scholars from the Chester Festival concert. The first is a setting of Lamentations by the Franco-Flemish composer Dominique Finot. I guess in his day, he must have seemed rather avant-garde, working in the first half of the 16th century. Finot was one of the very first to experiment with the idea of a double choir, and this work, traditionally heard during Holy Week, is a fine example of that mastery.
Thank you.
Lamentations of Jeremiah, a setting by the Franco-Flemish composer Dominique Fino, performed by the Dallas Scholars, directed by Peter Phillips. And the music of Fino links us neatly into our last piece today. It's by Palestrina again, whose music began the programme. Had there been no Fino, wrote some ancient musical theorist, Palestrina's music would not have been possible. And certainly with Italy being such a major force in the High Renaissance, it is easy to forget that the real first flowering of polyphonic writing actually began in the Franco-Flemish lands. This motet is based on Psalm 112, Praise the Lord, ye children, Laudate pueri Dominum.
Thank you.
Laudate Pueri Dominum by Palestrina, performed by the Tallis Scholars, directed by Peter Phillips, part of a concert given at this year's Chester Festival in the city's cathedral. The presenter was Lucy Skeeping and the producer was Chris Wines.
Join me, Julian Joseph, tonight for Jazz Lineup, coming from the grounds of the Dankworth Residence in Wavendon at the annual Music in the Garden series. The Million Dollar Collection is an ambitious suite for large ensemble, inspired by paintings from artists including Mondrian, Picasso, and Hogarth. The late Johnny Dankworth wrote it in 1967, and this week we'll hear it performed by a brand new band of top-class musicians, assembled and conducted by his son, Alec. An exclusive performance of a truly unique piece, Dankworth's Million Dollar Collection, tonight in Jazz Lineup at 11:30 here on BBC Radio 3.
And now here's Fiona Talkington with some more of your requests.
What a splendid opening today, and many thanks to Barry Smith for requesting that stirring military music of the French Revolution, a pas de manœuvre by Jean-Louis Jardin, played by the Orchestre d'Harmonie des Gardiens de la Paix, conducted by Claude Pichereau. Stephen Thomas has come up with an interesting choice today, music for trautonium, an electronic instrument developed in the 1930s, but a sound which is maybe most familiar in Hitchcock's film The Birds, with some of those bird effects in the movie created by trautonium virtuoso Oscar Sala. Paul Hindemith was fascinated by the otherworldly sound of this early electronic instrument. Here's his three concert pieces for trautonium and orchestra, Oscar Sala's the soloist with a Munich Chamber Orchestra.